Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There actually were two gospel readings assigned for this day, an alternate treatment of the temptations of Jesus, and the one read just a few moments ago. The temptation story was well suited in several devotions this week. And so I chose to address myself to one other real temptation which you and I often face, the temptation to be unloved. Love, God for us in Christ Jesus, and the command to love both God and our fellow man is a topic much treated in Scripture and of utmost importance to us. Yet there are real temptations regarding it. Through misunderstanding of both its substance and its source, through temporary weakness in faith, for all sorts of reasons. Now, I direct your attention especially to these three key verses of our gospel reading for this day in John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Whether it be in English or in Greek, the meaning of the term love is difficult enough for a mere mortal to grasp without trying to understand it as God means it. It's normal in our society for the lover to describe to his beloved his love in flowery terms. He tells her he will climb the highest mountain, and fight the fiercest lion, and swim the deepest ocean for his love. But if he so dare, he promises to return the very next night, if it doesn't rain. With such vagaries in human love, how does one understand that God's love for man is unshakable and eternal? And further than that, how does one understand God's commandment, love one another as I have loved you? Love one another? I should love the guy down the hallway who plays his high fire in the middle of the night? With country music at that? When he gives those kind of quizzes, I should love him? Yet it is an important indicator of the fellowship of Christ's church that all of us are bound together in love. Love is not only our glue, our binding force, but also a motivation. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, says John chapter 13. Paul, you may remember, extolled love was a still more excellent way when he wrote that faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians also suggests that without love, despite all our other gifts, virtues, talents, and orthodoxy, we are nothing more than loud, discordant noises, a great, big, fat zero. Love is a mark of discipleship. Without love, there is no Christian life. Fortunately, God's word in the 15th chapter from John has much more in it than the verses assigned as our gospel reading for the day. Our text fits into that great section of I am the vine, ye are the branches. We have both a source and a model of love in Christ Jesus. A command to love one another is not a requirement which his disciples are expected to fulfill through their own power, apart from Christ, but rather the disciple is united to Christ through faith, just as the branch is united to the vine. And the disciple thus draws his life and his strength from Christ. He has forgiveness of sins through union with Christ. And it is that Christ who has chosen him to go and bear fruit. Verse 16 reminds us, you have not chosen me, that I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. The branch bears fruit only because it is attached to the vine. And one of the fruits of union with Christ Jesus is love. Moreover, Christ himself has become our model. He asks his disciples to do no more than what he has done for us, and as his Father has done for him. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. The entire life of Christ, his birth, miracles, teaching, suffering, death, and resurrection, had but one explanation. He loved us. He gave himself for us. His purpose was to make us children of God. As Paul writes in Ephesians, therefore be ye imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So there is the how of all of this. The power to love comes from God himself. When he looked at the world as sinful as it was and is, he loved. And that love could see no solution except that Jesus Christ would give himself on the cross for our sins. Because he loved, we are forgiven. Because he died sinless and rose again, we are cleansed. Because he was concerned for us, we share his concern for others. The love that Jesus Christ showed for mankind makes our teaching ring true. We try as we might to prepare for this great gospel ministry which lies before us, dropping the book, sacrificing our time and money, working hard to hone the fine talents which the Lord has given to us. The power and motivation that will make our ministry worthwhile comes from God himself. As Paul Bunyan once put it, is it so much to be a sinner? The Christian may be a fine instrument of himself, but he must be played by God. The great Damien End, at his own request, chaplain of the first large leper colony in Hawaii, spent several years living, eating, playing with the leper children. Then one Pentecost Sunday, he got up to preach, and passing over his usual salutation, dear fellow Christians, revealed what his love had cost him as he began his sermon, dear fellow lepers. A year later, he was dead. A fool for God, perhaps. At the same kind of fool that now and again has illumined the world with at least a partial vision of the great love which God first shed for us. The story is told of the old pastor who entered his church early one morning to pray. He heard sounds coming from the sanctuary. Single note, then chord, then combination. Quietly he walked into the empty church to watch the organ tuner at work. Sir, how do you tune all those pipes to harmonize perfectly? He asked. The tuner replied, as they tune to the middle key. And then all the rest fit together from there. The love that we have for one another and that we shall demonstrate as a mark of the church of Jesus Christ comes from being tuned to him, the middle key in our life, from focusing on that central thought of those three young salvers. If we are to avoid discord, torment, and anxiety, we are to seek harmony, peace, and love, Christ must be that middle key. And our lives, and our faith, and our ministry will be in tune. And isn't it great that the very Word of God, which we are privileged to study here, that Word is used by God's Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith, and thus recharge our love batteries, and regardless of other situations in our world today, that's one place that there will never be a power for. God grant us the faith to reflect His love for Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.